Natural disasters and national emergencies can strike anywhere and anytime, with little or no warning, leaving chaos and destruction in their wake. But amidst the devastation is a beacon of hope and a symbol of unwavering support, the Red Castle of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers.
We always live kind of in disbelief that it's not going to happen to us.
We're protecting American citizens. We're giving them the tools to help them protect themselves.
When you are affected by a disaster, it can be very traumatizing.
Our sole intent is to get folks back to their pre-disaster way of life.
Welcome to Corps Chronicles, Stories from the Heartland, where we bring you the history of the Kansas City District, U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. This month, we'll learn about the vital role our district plays in disaster readiness, response, and recovery. Join us as we explore the incredible stories of the unsung heroes who stand ready to step in and help, no matter where or when disaster strikes.
I'm Jed Knieven. I'm the Chief of Readiness and Contingency Operations here for the Kansas City District.
My name is Rick Wechselbaum. I'm an Emergency Management Specialist with the Kansas City District Corps of Engineers, and I'm responsible for the National Emergency Preparedness Program.
Mike Doolin, Emergency Management Specialist with the Kansas City District Corps of Engineers. I'm the Flood Control and Coastal Emergencies Program Manager.
Diana McCoy, I'm the Chief of Public Affairs for the Kansas City District. Prior to coming into this role, I was an emergency management specialist in our Readiness and Contingency Operations Office.
My name is Vira Dobbins. My position was Emergency Management Specialist.
My name is Marjorie DeBrott, and when I started in emergency management, I was the Natural Disaster Program Manager. And at a later time, I became the Chief of Emergency Management in Kansas City District.
Communities in the Heartland, especially those located on or near the Missouri River, are all too familiar with the flood risk the river presents. However, the Midwest is susceptible to other kinds of natural disasters too. The risk of tornadoes, wildfires, and even earthquakes are ever present in the Kansas City District's area of responsibility. Thankfully, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers Emergency Operations Mission has plans for these disasters and others. The district's Readiness and Contingency Operations Office works with local, state, and federal partners to help plan for a variety of disasters.
Plans give us a general guideline on how we're going to execute when we're asked to assist. You have professionals that can help lead the district through an emergency, so we're not learning on the fly. You have a trained team that's responsible for helping the district navigate through that. There's somebody there they can call. Somebody's going to pick up the phone and respond to their needs during that disaster.
It's good to have those relationships.
Unfortunately, the Kansas City District knows firsthand the importance of having good working relationships and emergency plans in place in the event of a natural disaster. On May 22, 2011, an EF5 tornado ripped through the city of Joplin, Missouri. A large portion of the city was damaged, including nearly 8,000 buildings, and 158 people tragically lost their lives that day, making it the seventh deadliest tornado in U.S. history. About a month before the Joplin tornado, a deadly tornado tore through Tuscaloosa, Alabama in April. Staff from the Kansas City District flew down to Tuscaloosa to assess the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers' response and recovery efforts and use the lesson learned in Alabama to apply it to their response and recovery efforts in Joplin.
We all got on a plane and went to Tuscaloosa, Alabama to kind of observe how they were doing the debris removal mission. They had several tornadoes that had gone down through there a month or so prior to the Joplin tornado. And we brought the lessons back and applied them to our situation.
Tuscaloosa occurred before Joplin. The Corps was already fully engaged down there. They had an RFO and at least one EFO stood up. And we hopped on a plane to go to Tuscaloosa to see what they were doing because we were pretty sure we were going to get this recovery field office mission for Joplin.
After the Joplin tornado, the Kansas City District set up a recovery field office in Joplin where most of the response and recovery work was done. The mission was one of the largest in the district's history.
When the Joplin tornadoes hit in 2011, it didn't take very long for Joplin to say, "This is way bigger than we can respond to. We need help."
Nobody knew immediately, but Joplin would grow to almost 400 personnel. And we would make commitments to the state of Missouri and FEMA that we would be done with what we were doing prior to the beginning of August, or middle of August, because they wanted to be ready to go back to school. And so we met those deadlines.
Although he wasn't yet working for the Kansas City District in 2011, Rick Wechselbaum was in the military and was stationed at nearby Fort Leonard Wood. He recalls seeing the devastation from the Joplin tornado from his car on the highway.
I was stationed at Fort Leonard Wood. I remember that day well because there were some other storms that rolled through Fort Leonard Wood at the time. The storms that hit Leonard Wood, I remember saying that they were nothing like what hit Joplin. And I really didn't understand the scale of that tornado until probably a couple weeks later. I was heading west on I-44, which runs just south of Joplin, the main part of Joplin. And I remember cruising down I-44 and looking out the windows and actually seeing the path where the tornado came through. And just, I think they said it was a mile wide, maybe even bigger than that. I remember seeing the path where it crossed over the interstate and seeing the path of the storm. It was close enough to where, you know, they still had roads shut down and there's still a significant emergency response and so on.
Rick credits the Joplin tornado response and recovery efforts with sparking his interest in pursuing a career in emergency management after retiring from the military.
I do remember seeing the storm. I don't know, I'm a self-proclaimed weather geek and stuff. I track weather, not excessively, but an appropriate amount based on my position here with the Corps. That storm turned a chapter for me, and I said, yeah, this emergency management stuff is kind of neat. Because up until that point, you know, I was a warfighter. But yeah, that storm may have opened my eyes a little bit to natural disasters and emergency management on the civilian side.
Like tornadoes, wildfires can start abruptly and cause large paths of devastation and destruction in their wake. The Kansas City District has many employees who have volunteered to wildfire response and recovery efforts over the years. Members of the district's debris planning and response team have deployed to wildfire response and recovery in Oregon, Colorado, and Tennessee.
I'll go back to Oregon back in 2021. There was about 1 million acres that was destroyed in the forest in the Cascades, and there were about 4,000 structures. We were there for about 9 months. We were there as technical monitors to get the debris removed from Oregon. We got there in January. USACE left in September. So that particular mission took about 9 months to do. The next mission I took the team on was in Colorado. We got there in March and we finished up in September. There were 650 homes. It was a wildfire that turned urban. We were there for about 6 months on that one as well. Tennessee, we were only there for about a month.
While these wildfires caused significant damage, they would prove to pale in comparison to the devastation caused by the 2023 wildfire in Maui, Hawaii. Both Judd and Rick deployed to assist the response and recovery efforts in Maui.
And then my time out in Maui for the Lahaina wildfires, I was served out there as a subject matter specialist. And just to get the time with the communities, we did meetings with local officials and the general public in various locations. And just to see the destruction in Lahaina with the culture out there and just the limited resources since it's an island in the Pacific and so on, that mission was very challenging.
The response and recovery mission, which is still ongoing over a year after the wildfire, is unique for several reasons. One being the deployment of Critical Incident Stress Management, or CISM, teams. CISM is a network of peer supporters that provide confidential peer support to USACE employees.
I just deployed to Hawaii to help with the Lahaina wildfire recovery, where we had several missions, but we had the biggest one was debris, where we're going in and removing the burned debris from private property, and then removing that debris to a temporary disposal site, and eventually it'll be permanently disposed of. And it's incredibly involved and involves a lot of contractors and their personnel on the ground. It's different in that we had a lot of contact with survivors. They would come out while we were clearing their lots, and some of them wouldn't say anything, and some of them would be very emotional. And so that was different. Our folks had a lot of close contact. It's the first mission where I'd ever been involved with where we have our CISM personnel. We're on hand and we're interacting with our folks on a daily basis. They were out there amongst the guys on the ground, women on the ground every day, making sure that their emotional needs and were being met. Nobody was having too many stress-related issues associated with the mission. It didn't take long to understand why. You understand that because of that closeness and just because of how devastating the fire was to the community, emotions still ran high. It's very understand that emotions ran high and that those emotions transferred to our own people.
Although deployments like those in Maui can be emotional for the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers staff who volunteer, it's these difficult events that remind them why they do what they do. These volunteers provide a value to our nation that cannot be quantified.
Their way of life has just changed. And that resiliency and that knowledge that they have, albeit, you know, painful, is something that they can use and will use moving forward. It makes my time here just feel that much more worthwhile.
The Corps' primary objective in any emergency response is to protect lives, save lives, and protect public infrastructure. Working in emergency management, I do find the work to be very rewarding. So it makes it worth it coming in every day knowing that, you know, if a disaster hits, you're giving back to your country, you're giving back to your neighbors, helping people out after they've had the worst day of their life. So that's been pretty fulfilling.
The fact that we can help people get back to a place of normal during a very traumatizing time of their life, to me, is very rewarding, whether I'm helping them personally or helping them in a way that they will never see my face. To me, it's very rewarding work.
Working in emergency management was probably the best job I had.
I look back, I can't believe I was lucky as this. I mean, it sounds weird, lucky being on disasters, but it just felt right. It gave me a sense of helping people.
I learned that what we do is important for people. It allows them to get on with their lives. It did not take me very long after that to realize that I was the Corps of Engineers to a lot of people. I was the first person that they'd ever talked to from the organization. I was the first person they'd ever asked for help. I was the first person ever providing technical assistance to them, right? And that really changed and shaped how I perceived my job and followed me through my career, because the decisions that we make really do impact people. And if we're able to provide them with assistance, most of them are very grateful, and they will always remember that. When they see you, they say hello, or they'll say, hey, this is the guy I told you about from the Corps of Engineers. Maybe you can answer your question, you know, or said, let's sit down and have a conversation, right? That's the good stuff.
Thank you for tuning in to Season 3 of the Corps Chronicles. We hope you enjoyed listening, and we look forward to bringing you more stories from the Heartland.